joy to you.
Trucks, boats, scooters, and many other vehicles are accepted, so don't delay. Call today.
Again, that number is 1-855-KPFT-CAR, 573-8277. This is KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome to another edition of Technology Bites.
Welcome to Technology Bites. I turned this to, I don't hear anything. There it is. I sort of hear something.
I thought you were going to use that mic, so I didn't turn that one on.
How about we just use them both?
Got them both on now.
All right. Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Wow. We got two missing geeks tonight.
I almost didn't come to the show. I stayed up late last night.
I almost didn't come to the show. I stayed up late last night.
I was up pretty late.
I was kind of up late last night, too.
Why isn't Dwight here?
Because he stayed up late. Oh, yes. Well, we're the dedicated few that are decided to be here for tonight's Technology Bites. So, we've got that going for you with no news and probably no Barrett time, this show is going to be
very short.
Barrett, listen.
And that's it.
Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Technology Bites. How do we make that exit outro kind of thing go for 2 hours? All right. Visit us online at geekradio.com. That is our website.
Thanks for listening. I'm going to go alert IRC that it's over.
Are you doing the Texas Senate time shift?
There you go.
I'm trying to make it last for 2 hours.
Visit us online, geekradio.com. You can also hang out with us in the IRC, irc.cuckoo.com, in the channel Tech Bites. If you don't have your own IRC client, feel free to go to geekradio.com and use ours. That's enough of that. That joke.
Do not attempt to adjust your radio.
That joke was slightly funny when it happened.
DJ Flicked.
Yeah, but I'm not about, you know, whether something's funny to anybody else.
I understand. You have your own agenda, don't you?
I mean, anybody else in the entire world. As long as it's funny to me, it's all good.
All right. Visit us online at geekradio.com again. No. Oh, there you are. My program wasn't running as quickly as I thought it should on the new
app. On the new hotness?
Yes.
How much RAM do you get?
8 gigs. Which is nice, you know. That was one of the things they released with 8 gig on the generation after yours. On Flicted, does your MacBook Air have 8 gigs of RAM or 4? You should just know that. Why are you looking at your computer?
I'm running with 4.
Yeah, yours is the pre-backlit extra RAM minimal hard. What do you got, like 128 gig hard drive?
Yeah. I don't keep a lot on this. This is mainly, I do a lot of remote kind of stuff. So almost everything I do is, you know, I connect remotely and then do things that way. So it's more or less a thin client.
Yeah.
Yes.
Without a lot of hard drive space.
I specially bought one that was 8 gig.
Okay.
I had to order it.
Yours is fairly new, though. You replaced yours. What was the one before that a 2 gig?
The one before that was probably 2. It was the original.
Yeah. The original MacBook Air with nothing, mostly air.
Like a 80 gig or 60 gig hard drive and maybe 2 gig of memory.
Well, I just paid off my credit card bill, so it's mine now. I feel better about that. All right, so since we have no info shot because Pete's gone.
I've got 250 gigs.
Really?
I didn't know. It doesn't seem like it. It's mostly full. Like, I've got about, you know, 9 gigs of overhead right now. But, yeah, I've got more than I thought I did.
That's a lot of space.
It's a decent amount.
That's not bad. Does yours have screws on the bottom? Can it conceivably be taken apart?
Yeah, I think you could.
All right, so we could.
You could replace the battery in here if you needed to. It's not like it's been sealed or welded at the edges.
I haven't seen the teardown on that model, but hope your power's off. All right, so since we have no info shot because Pete is out, we're going to just go pretty much straight to the calls. And since Groovehouse is actually here this week, he will be screening the calls and preparing them for air. Flicted did a marvelous job. Not really.
Thank y'all.
For what?
For covering. Thank you, Flicted.
We're just glad you're okay.
Alive.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was good. I'm good. I'm better.
You were out by Friday, so, you know, you weren't you weren't down for the count.
Well, yeah.
You just disappointed us, your best friends.
Well, and his fans on air.
Yeah, it's true.
All his listeners.
There was sadness.
I'll phone it in next time.
I think there was a vigil.
Was there?
I think
candlelight so. Or otherwise? LED light vigil?
LED.
Yeah, that'd be the kind of cool hipster vigil we'd have.
That's right. Before we bonfire funeral out to sea.
713-526-5738 is the phone number if you want to be on the air with us tonight here on Technology Byte. 713-526-KPFT.
Because we're taking calls now.
So you're going to BronyCon?
It's near my house.
Really? Like there's a Houston BronyCon?
There is a Houston BronyCon.
Did you request that it was by your house or close by, or did it just happen to
work
out that way?
I think they want to be closest to the most powerful Brony.
It's near the Galleria.
Mr. Lee.
No, it is not.
I thought it was the west.
And you have a pool.
The wet, not Weston.
No, it is.
Pool party at Jay's.
I thought it was by the Galleria.
Let's see. What is it called? It's got some clever name.
Fiesta
Equestria.
Equestria.
Yeah.
Fiesta Equestria. Oh, they had a. Okay, so it is. Yeah, fiestaequestria.com.
Yep.
Let me see if I can get the page to load. No, I thought for some reason I thought it was out Beltway 8. And
I-10. So. I think in their promo material it says, you know, right by the largest mall.
They did say that, but that is so misleading because they're close to the mall in the sense that it's in the same city as the con.
See, I didn't actually look at the address. I just saw it said right next to the Galleria, so I thought it was right next to the Galleria.
Yeah, no. They said it's right down the road, but let's see. Venue.
The 27-mile road of Westheimer.
Fiesta Equestria venue at the magical West Chase Marriott. And if you look at the West Chase Marriott, you will see that it is, let me see, it is Briar Park Drive.
It's the one by the Beltway, isn't it?
Yes.
Over by, not to say where you live, but out by, in your neck of the woods. It actually made a, there's a, well, it's just Houston Press, so it's kind of local, but Houston Press did a top five weirdest conventions. BronyCon's number one. Although I think that's got a lot of overlap with Anthrocon, which I didn't know existed. So it's like they open it up to, they're into any kind of humanized animals or anthropomorphic
animals. Furrycon. Just call it for what it is. It's Furrycon. It's between Gessner and the Beltway. Just off of...
Yeah, that's pretty far away from the Galleria.
It's actually west time. It's really right near west. I mean, it's even
just
closer.
It's by Beltway 8.
It's closer to my house than I thought. It's between Westheimer and Richmond. Yeah, so in that sense, you could get on Westheimer and take a straight shot down about... It's about 8 minutes to get to the Galleria.
It's probably like eight miles, 10 miles.
To the Galleria,
it's not that close.
It's close enough. We have a call?
So,
what?
BronyCon.
Yeah, are you going to go?
I don't think so.
You should at least cruise by on the motorcycle.
But just a second. But y'all said it... I didn't think bronies and furries were connected.
I don't think they are.
No.
But I could see furries, like, kind of hanging around, seeing if anybody would chase them off at a BronyCon.
Because I don't think bronies, like, are into, like, the wearing tails. And the hat.
No, they are into wearing
connected.
The tails.
The roots go really, really, really deep.
Then,
if you want to find out more, you need to go to Conspiracy Con, which is actually one of the cons on the list, too.
No, they're...
Really? So they wear tails and...
The bronies that I saw at the much more masculine comic Palooza, one of them had a tail and some like.
And maybe he was a crossover because I didn't think they were connected. But the thing is, in my opinion, the fake furries
Well, a lot of them don't have real fur.
Well, that's the thing. real furries wear like should wear. Full suits.
Right, they should be full-on mascot.
If you're just wearing ears and a tail like a lot of people now that are furries are doing, I'm sorry, but that's like a faux hawk compared to a mohawk. A faux hawk is just crap.
Even in Texas, though, can you go like cut off, like make some little cutoffs of furry outfits?
Faux hawks are just lame, and anybody who rocks a faux hawk is...
They're one step away from a mullet.
I'm gonna use modern slang. They're ratchet.
They're ratchet.
Yeah.
All right.
All the like young teens that listen to the show.
All the young teens with faux hawks.
But they might be mad because I used a negative term and trashed their faux hawk.
All right. So now bronies are not furries.
Well,
but
the circles are probably. There's a little bit of overlap, I'm sure.
But like I said, I think that a furry, even a faux furry or a full on furry. Ooh, a faux.
I got a full-on furry.
A little furry on a furry on brony action.
Someone's going to call up here and school us.
I'm sure Brony might call in and tell us what's what. But at any rate, so it's BronyCon. Apparently, there's no press passes to be had, so I don't have that angle to work.
They have a lot of DJs. I mean, I went to the music page, and there was like 20 people playing. It was a lot. There were a lot of DJs. But it's all some kind of like brony, I don't know. It somehow has to be connected to brony culture. I don't know what that means exactly.
It's pony pop music?
I don't know.
They just loop the theme song.
They just play Ride the White Horse over and over again.
I think they messed up. They should have had this downtown where it's more accessible, and they also could have held it on Main Street.
I see what you did there.
I don't know. It's dangerously close to my house, but I don't think I'm going to pay to go to it. I want to see it.
I think it's $40 for all three. I think it's 3 days. $40 for 3 days, I think, or $25 for each.
I saw that our friend Perez, Brian from OniCon and Comic Palooza, he likes their Facebook page, so he might be loosely
affiliated. See if there's an in. Yeah, they want a little bit of coverage.
Do you want to go?
If you go, no, I've fallen for that before.
Hey, Barrett, get in the limo.
We can't.
Barrett, get in the limo.
this brony wants to do yoga.
Yeah. No.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Google search brony. B-R-O-N. It's B-R-O-N-Y, right? Like pony with a B-R.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yep.
I'm not sure. Afflicted nose.
It's like a Brosif pony.
Or Fiesta Equestria.
Which
is like horse party.
The specific con here. Because Equestria, I guess, is the name of the land that the My Little Ponies live in is Equestria.
It's also equestrian is like Latin for horse, things right. related to a horse.
Right.
It's Latin for Mr. Ed.
I thought it was funny. There's a...
Wilbur.
The Fiesta Equestria has links to some other BronyCons that are going on, but there's one called BronyCan because it's in Canada.
Nah. Not because they're empowering.
Nope.
Yes, I brony. All right, 713-526-5738. At least we have BronyCon to fall back to if we don't get calls. We do have a call, so we're going to get to this call here in just a second. But if you want to be on the air, we got all of our open lines. We'll either talk about BronyCons all night, or we'll answer your computer questions. So really, it's up to you. 713-526-5738. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who's up?
Up first on the show already. It's 8:15. First call.
This is great. Yeah.
This is great. All right. So up first, we're going to speak with Leon.
Hi, Leon. You're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys. Have you ever heard of a hacker world called Anonymous?
Yes.
Do you know any of them?
Yes.
Good. Can you give them a message for me? I'm a counter-brainwashing professional over at rubberhelmet.simplesite.com, and I want my $10,000.
All right. Message delivered.
Airwaves. Message go.
Yep. Airwaves. Message go.
Tracer tape.
Tracer. Inside joke. Yeah.
That guy's probably working with Next Gen Hacker.
I'm not finding a lot on Rubber Helmet online. The things I am finding, I'm not liking.
Got you again, Barrett.
Get in the limo.
Get in the limo, Barrett.
So I guess our plan... So we got DEF CON coming up.
Yeah, a little month away, a little over.
Yeah. Apparently, I'm the only one of the three of us who secured a room in the actual convention hotel.
So it went fast this year.
You're the adult.
You're the adult.
Everybody else is sleeping
in their car.
In the hotel next to it, which is actually much, much cheaper than the hotel that it's in.
Yeah, and shows it by the looks of it. You know, I've been to that hotel. I mean, you know, I might go there next year. I might save a few bucks. But not this year. I'll be in the main hotel. But yeah, so we have DEF CON coming up. That'll be interesting to see how that goes. Maybe we'll run into Emmanuel Goldstein again.
Are we going to be at DEF CON during the Geek Gathering? Do we need to do something with that? Are we away on the first Friday? Because I know DEF CON hits the first of the month, right? Yeah, I think the first is a Friday. Let me go check out the calendar.
It is actually the first is a Thursday.
Oh, but so, I mean, point so is we'll be gone.
We'll be gone. Yeah. You and I will be gone. And Flicked will be gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can't guarantee that Dwight's going to get to bed on time on Thursday night, so I'm wondering if we shouldn't postpone that. Or we just give him a really strict curfew.
And speaking of that, there is a Geek Gathering coming up on July 5th. I know it's the holiday weekend, but how many people actually go anywhere with gas prices and the heat and all that? But we've got the information up on the website. If you want to come out to the Geek Gathering on July 5th, of course, it'll be at Cons or Cones or... KHON apostrophe S, whatever it is, however you say it.
Cajones.
We'll just Cajones.
Addressing it by its address. We'll
2808 Milam at Drew.
2808 Milam at Drew.
I like to say Cajones.
Cajones, yes you do.
All right, well, so anyway, that is the Geek Gathering. Dwight may or may not get enough sleep. We don't know. I haven't had much sleep. I'm tired. This is going to be a bad one for me because I usually at least Wednesday night's the night my stay up late night during the week and go to work. At the crack of dawn, and now I've done it. This will be twice, so yay. All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
I see we have a call in the queue, someone who has dialed 713-526-5738 so they could be on the air with us. Who is it?
All right, up next on the show, we're going to speak with Leia.
Leia, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I'm so excited to be able to call you this week. I'm always delivering pizzas while I'm listening to you, so I never have time to actually call.
Okay.
But I got an extra line to delivery, so I'm just going to make this real quick. I haven't heard you guys say that you shouldn't open up a computer all the way unless you are in a clean room. And this week, my boyfriend's laptop overheated, and he wanted to take the case off and douse it with air. And I told him that you said not to do that.
Probably what you heard was we're talking about if you actually crack open a hard drive and the platters, just because the speck of dust will mess with the platters, that's what you want to be careful with. As far as pulling off the covers to a case on a computer, that's fine.
So he's right and I'm wrong, and you guys just
forgot. We probably said it wrong.
I was like, no, baby, you're going to get dust, and it's going to be even worse. And overheated, and he thinks it's dirty.
Dirty. He might try to blow it out without taking it apart.
A lot of times the computer on the inside is much dirtier than the room on the outside. So I would take it outside and
especially if it's in a computer, especially a desktop computer that's on the floor where somebody has pets.
HPV7, but he had spilled some water on the keyboard. Now the keyboard doesn't work. He's got a remote keyboard, and he thinks cleaning it out would help that too. So I don't know anything about that, but I just
wanted to call you and
get your opinion because you're the expert. Every week, I've never had a reason to call you.
He does not need a clean room, but laptops can be tricky to take apart.
If he's a messy guy and you're looking for an excuse, though, he doesn't have to know what we said. He's not listening. Yes, you must clean.
Well, he's not listening right now. I'm going to tell him to look it up later. But
yeah,
I really appreciate all your help. I got to deliver this pizza now, but I'll listen all night. Thanks, guys.
Bye. I would say just tell him that, you know, it needs to be done in the living room or whatever the dirtiest room in the house is. It must be that room, but that room has to be spotless.
That room has to be clean before he can open the laptop in it.
Right. If he spilled a drink in it, it's already not working. I mean, God knows what. I think that guy might be.
It's still dry out, though. I mean, Dwight's done that with Diet Coke, and he tried his out.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like it's a dry out issue. It sounds like he's already got it working.
It's already too late. It's not working.
He's already using a satellite
key. Sounds like it's got sugar. At least Dwight spilled a diet beverage into his computer.
I think she said water, though.
Yeah, it could.
If it shorts, it'll still short.
All right, 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you want to be on the air with us.
Don't lose any screws when you take apart the laptop.
That's a good point Roof House makes.
There's going to be a lot of little screws.
Even more importantly than that, I mean, along the same lines, some of them are different lengths, too. So I always try and, do little markings, and, on a piece of paper.
Not only that, those laptop cases also have, they're snapped together in certain spots.
Plastic tabs that break.
Yeah, where they're at, it can be difficult.
Best to find. Just always like to find a teardown guide or a step-by-step, take this apart. So I'm not the one pioneering how to break the laptop.
You know, it's some nice tricks are, you can get those metal pans that have magnets on the bottom of them that you use for cars, to keep track of stuff so it doesn't spill. Another one is somebody just mentioned, which I think I heard of, but I hadn't thought of it in a while, but somebody mentioned they actually use an ice cube tray. So they have 12 different pockets that they can put different stuff in to keep it together, but keep it in one area. But keep them separated, just like the song says.
Geeky. It's kind of geeky.
713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites.
Take the ice out first, though. Don't put the screws in there with ice cubes and... When it's all
or
done,
put them in and then put the water. And then put the water in and then freeze them.
Just get yourself some molding putty. Cover up the screw holes. Don't put the screws
in. Put a Twix in it.
That was a USB Twix.
It was a USB Twix. You stuck it in there.
All right, 713-526-5738.
There's proof of it somewhere.
It's on the Geek Radio site in the photo gallery.
Right.
There's some really old photos in there.
Yeah, that's got to be 2006 or something.
I don't know. Also, speaking of a long time ago, this upcoming Geek Gathering is technically the observation Geek Gathering of our 18th anniversary of Technology Bites.
Or at least register for Selective Service.
We're in the Army now. Oh, no, we're doomed. All right, 713-526-5738. The phone lines are open, and we have all the lines are available to take your calls. And since we have no Pete, we are counting on you to go ahead. We'd be kind of wrapping up our intro and our info shot right about now. And then opening up the phone line. So I know it's a surprise. So let's see. There's no basketball because the Miami Heat took care of that.
Yeah.
There's no all-night filibusters.
There's no hockey.
No hockey? Is that over, too?
That's over, too.
There's still some baseball.
But we can't watch it unless you go to a game or have that crazy
cable channel. You can't watch baseball on TV?
You got to have that crazy cable channel.
Which one?
I don't know, that special one that you only... Only plays Houston sports.
Oh, the Comcast Sports Network?
CSN or whatever. Yeah.
The ones that are using my photo and won't respond to me?
Yeah. Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I can listen to it on the radio. Or if you ride to Minute Maid Park, you can, there's a window and you can actually see over the Crawford boxes onto the field. You got to edge out the homeless people, though.
Because they're all baseball fans?
They're
all
baseball fans. Check it out.
Hey, maybe you could offer to give them permission to use Jay's photo if they give you access to, you know, the channel.
To the window?
No, to CSN.
Oh, I don't have cable. I'll never have access to it.
Online.
Yeah, good luck. Like,
well, do you watch baseball on TV or if you have the chance?
If it's free, yeah. I mean, over the air, whatever. Online.
So it's not... Astros baseball is not on broadcast television.
Not unless it gets picked up on... I don't think so. It's all tied into the Comcast thing.
You're the expert. I don't know.
Oh.
You're the baseball nut.
Mm. Hmm.
713-526-5738. So, let's see. We covered DEF CON. We talked about bronies. We're not in fundraiser. I don't know what the deal is.
Soccer's still going on.
Is it?
Yep.
Isn't soccer, like, always going on?
Somewhere.
No, somewhere you're...
Well, yeah,
you're around.
I guess somewhere there is, but not
it's
in
a worldwide
Houston.
Sport.
I went to... They had a game here on Saturday.
Really? Was it mm-hmm. the... Which one was it?
It was the Dynamo.
Go Orange.
They tied 0-0. But before that, I went to the Eighth Wonder Brewery Tour, which is like just maybe 3 or 4 blocks from the stadium.
Yes, it is.
Was that cool?
First time I'd been there.
Like, are they a small setup? Or
Eighth
like
Wonder? It's pretty small. They've only been doing tours for, I think, maybe a couple months now. They've been around for about a year, but they were just giving their stuff out like in very short amounts. They didn't have normal distributions anywhere until about 2 months ago, and then they started doing their tours also around the same time. And so I guess, I don't know if they're going to do it every time, but this time, because there was a home game, their tours are normally noon to 3. But since it was a home game, the home game started at 8, they had it 5 to 8. So you could go park and get there early and get a good parking spot and then hang out at Eighth Wonder for a couple hours and then walk over to the game.
There you
go. Good stuff.
All right, 713-526-5738. You know, this is 2 weeks in a row where we've kind of had this skeleton crew, and it's always just kind of throws my game off. And then the people don't call in, and that's way worse. 713-526-KPFT if you want to be on the air. So, Groovehouse, you got a new computer.
I did get a new computer.
What?
Where?
What?
Where is it?
What is it? It's a Dell XPS. It's big, fat.
Light, workstation
light. It's my Lightroom. Yeah, it's my Lightroom computer is what I call
it's
it.
It's not a laptop.
It's not a laptop.
No.
Does it not count if it's not a laptop?
It's a desktop. It's a home workstation for my photography stuff.
Well, he just has to tell you about it.
It's pretty cool.
So you got one with a big hard drive, fast processor, lots of RAM.
Lots of RAM, 16 gigs.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. And so
2 terabyte hard drive and Core i7. Cool. I like it. I mean, I needed it. I need to be able to, you know, edit photos and process them quick. And now I can do video.
Say I put 16 gig in my Mac Mini, but I just open a bunch of Chrome tabs.
Man, my Chrome is acting weird right now. I don't know what it is. So I think it might be a problem with one of my plugins. I don't know. It's not acting right.
Do you use the gestures in Chrome quite a bit, like to go forward and backwards for web navigation?
No.
Okay.
They annoy me.
They annoy me. I'm trying to turn them off. I've got like a lot of like large data sets that I'll scroll through, and I'll like, you know, and it's worked where it takes a while to get to that screen because it's different queries and it's different data views and it's web driven. So I'll get to the point where I'm scrolling all the way over to the right to get a piece of data. I'll scroll back, but if I go too fast, it takes me back. And the thing is, this is like, it's annoying. Not session based data, and then I've got to go all the way from the very beginning, and it's
lame. Now I've run into that too.
I just started using Firefox just because I'm tired of losing work, you know. So I was wondering if there's not a way to disable, but I looked in OS X, I've looked in Chrome, and it seems like no one wants to take, you know, responsibility for saying, hey, I'm the one that's doing that, let me disable it. So can you not turn it off?
I don't know.
Have you Googled it?
Yeah. I put, like, you know, a good 30 seconds into it. Found nothing.
I put a good 0 seconds into it. I'm just annoyed by it.
I'm more concerned about remapping a couple of my Emacs keys from the new OS X terminal. They made some changes in that where it behaves differently lately.
Huh. So. I don't think VI behaves differently.
No, it's, you don't have to do like 8-key meta alt escape sequences in VI, which is actually pretty nice.
All right, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. If you want to be on the air with us tonight, we've got one call in the queue and all the lines are open. So give us a ring. This is your opportunity to get your computer questions answered if you need that. Or you just want to talk about BronyCon. All right, Brewhouse?
Yes.
Who's up?
Up next, we are going to speak with Leonard.
Leonard, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi there.
Hi.
I've got a question about an older gateway computer. You guys have helped me with this before. You helped me decide to install Windows 7 and that worked beautifully. The problem it's got now is intermittently it doesn't want to start up. It doesn't want to boot up.
Intermittently, it does not want to start up. What does it do? Anything?
Well, let's see. When you push the power button on, there's a little splash screen that gives the gateway logo. It's a gateway computer, and then it does nothing. It sits there. My wife and I have got different workarounds for it. What I'll do is force it off, hold the power button down, and usually the second or third time it'll start up fine. Once it gets to the starting Windows page, it does fine. My wife takes a magazine in there and will just sit and wait for it.
How old is this computer, did you say?
It's 06 07.
And it could be that it's having a problem. So when you say you turn it on, the light comes on.
Yes.
On the box, but nothing comes up on the screen.
He sees the gateway logo from the
firmware. On the screen.
Does it count up RAM or does it do anything like that?
No, it doesn't have that kind of a boot up screen. Okay. It just shows, when it starts normally, it shows the gateway logo, then it goes black, then the starting Windows comes up and everything works fine from the starting Windows.
But when it doesn't work, it doesn't get to the starting Windows part.
Correct.
Well, it could be a sign that the fact that you're getting display is good. The fact that it's giving you the post screen like that it does, but the fact that nothing happens, it doesn't even come back and say like bad hard drive or like can't detect a hard drive. No error message whatsoever. It goes to a black screen and that's it.
That's correct.
Have you cracked the case to see if the main board is making any beeps? Because the gateways, especially around then, they would give out, a certain amount of beeps depending on why it was hanging.
But typically they only beep at the BIOS.
At the very beginning. But,
like, it's going to that part where it's trying to do the handoff where it's going to detect.
Trying to find the disk, the bootable disk. Yeah.
But if it seems to me that if it was, you okay there, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it seems to me that if you, if it can't find the disk, it'll come back and say no bootable. Media.
But you said your wife will take a magazine, so it eventually will boot?
Yeah.
Untouched?
She says sometimes it takes like 10 minutes, but it'll eventually boot.
I wonder if it's having a hard time finding the drives.
It's possible.
Unfortunately, that's why I called you. I don't know.
No, I know. So you say you did a clean install of Windows 7 on it?
Yeah, maybe it was a year and a half ago that I did that.
Well, if it's not good, now you can, on the gateway, on those old gateways, I believe you can hit the escape key and get rid of that gateway splash.
And see more information,
I think. And see more information.
Okay.
There's also, I believe, too, if you go into the BIOS, there is a, I think they called it, we called it like long post and or short post, but there's one where all you see is the logo, and then there's the other one that actually clicks through the RAM and says, looking for this drive, found this, doing
okay.
this. If you can go in, and if it, again, from 6 years ago, I'm not sure what it would look like, but if there's a way to enable more information uh-huh. on the post, that would
okay.
maybe give you a little bit more, shed a little bit more light on exactly where it's hanging in the process of trying to boot up the machine.
Right. There might be something behind that gateway splash that's giving you a hint as to why it's
okay.
waiting or
okay.
what it's waiting for. So when you get that gateway splash, try hitting the, they call it a splash screen when you get the logo up there. Sometimes you can hit the escape key a couple of times and it'll take that away. It'll show the underlying data of the boot process.
Okay.
So take a look
okay.
at that. All right.
All right. I'll do that. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Good luck. Thanks for your call tonight.
Uh-huh.
Right,
bye-bye.
All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with KPFT's Technology Bites. We invite you to call in and be a part of the show. Groovehouse is with us here. Groovehouse, do you want to give us a call? So we got two calls in the queue. That's
if the last caller got to is, if he's like already off the phone and back listening to the show, it's called Fast Boot. So if he disables Fast Boot, that'll show him everything.
That'll show you all the boot, mm-hmm. the post process. Okay. All right, Groovehouse.
Everything.
Yes. What?
Everything. It'll show you everything.
Mm. Everything?
Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up?
Up next, we are going to speak with Reza. Reza.
Reza, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know too much about computer, but one thing that bothers me all the time, every time I turn my computer on, and you have all this thing pops up, you know, and you close it, you know, every time, you know, you turn the computer on. The other day, I think they had this thing of free clean up your computer that they had something to do, part of the Microsoft or something. So I click on that and then went down and then start asking me for my credit card. So.
Right. So you have some kind of what they call a fake anti-spyware or fake cleanup tool. And it's gotten installed on your computer. It's commonly referred to as spyware. Thank God we got the spyware calls. Spyware. So you probably need to run some scanners against that to see if you can get it cleaned up.
Okay. Do you do the same thing for everything? Like, I had, I can't even remember the name of it. I used to have this, what do you call it? It's like, it's not coming through the telephone line, you know, they had this provider that, you know, you get for the computer, you know, and I can't even remember now the name of it, but now every time I turn it on, it comes on. I don't even have any contract with them anymore or anything like that, but it just, you know, all these things just keep popping up, you know, on the computer, and you just close it, you know, all the time, but I just don't know how you get rid of it forever, you know, just...
Are you talking about the pop-ups, the advertisements?
Yeah, those things. Were, you know, like, you know, something that, you know, you thought you were going to sign in, you know, like the wireless for the computer and that green something. I can't remember.
Why? I tell you what, this is not helpful. At least I'm trying to imagine what you're talking about. But it sounds to me like how old is the computer?
The computer is about 6 years old, but my nephew he came and one day he kind of updated and gave it more.
All right, so you've had the computer for a while and it's got the original software load on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, unfortunately, if you're someone who you know, I mean, you're having a hard time just even describing some of this stuff to me, and I understand that it can be somewhat confusing, but it sounds like the computer's got some problems, at least related to, some of them are related to spyware infections.
Yeah.
And so you should probably try to clean some of that up to see if that's going to help you at all. We list some free tools on our website at geekradio.com if you click on the spywares link. There's a great free program called Malware Bytes, which you could download, install on the computer, and scan it with that. And I would start with something like that just to see if that doesn't clean some of this up. But other than that, you're probably looking at having to have somebody have a look at it, maybe consider reinstalling your software, to try to get a handle on this, but I'm sorry I can't be much help to you on what you're describing. All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. We appreciate our callers and our listeners. We've got, it's only 8:40. So we got plenty of time left in the show. We'll have to take a short little station thing at the top of the hour, but we've got about an hour. So we got about an hour and a half left of programming to bring to you tonight. 713-526-5738. We've got three calls in the queue. All the other lines are open. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who do we have next?
Up next, we are going to speak with George.
George, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a friend who I burn CDs for, CDs and DVDs for music on them. I will record things, typically these radio shows, and I save them as WAV files. I'll convert them to MP3 files, and he complains sometimes about hearing artifacting and not as good a sound as he would like to hear, because he has, I'd say, absolutely solid gold hearing. Yeah, he has perfect hearing. And so what I want to do is I want to take these WAV files and convert them to a CDA file to see if that makes any difference. The problem is I send these things even on a DVD because there's so many files there. And I can't find a program that will allow me to take a WAV file and make a CDA on of it. Do you know of a such thing? I find plenty of programs that will make you allow you to make a CD, something like that, but not to a DVD. I can't seem to figure out a way of putting a CDA, even making a CDA file, first of all, let alone bring it to a DVD. Does anything like that exist?
I'm sure it does. How much effort have you put into looking?
Just Google it several times.
Because I've seen tons that say that they'll, because a CDA file is basically the music image file that a music CD uses. When you pull that off the CD, turn it into a WAV file, you want to create it back to a CDA file. Without burning it.
Well, without burning it, or I find plenty of programs that allow you to do that and burn right to a CD disc, a blank CD disc, but not a DVD.
And none of them that you have found that will... I don't know that that's going to solve your problem.
Oh. I tried taking WAV to MP3, even the highest bit rate MP3 you can get is, I think, a 320 or something like that, and he's still...
Well, have you let him listen to the WAV file and see if it sounds okay to him?
That's a problem. I can't get the WAV file to him. One small little twist. He can't play it in the computer. He must play it on a DVD player.
Do you have a laptop?
No. He has a halfway broken computer. Doesn't half work. And it's
just... What I'd be curious to know is if he heard the artifacts or the problem in the actual WAV file. Because before you go through all the effort of trying to find another format to convert this to, then you want to make sure that the problems that he's hearing aren't inherent in
like,
the actual
like in
original,
the original
media.
Show recording.
Right. Are these live recordings or are these...
These are actually recordings off of the internet of radio shows.
Okay. So those artifacts probably exist in your WAV files.
It's very possible.
Is he playing it through a DVD player, through like a dedicated DVD player?
One that's connected to his audio system and his big screen TV.
You might find out what formats the DVD player can play, because if it can play like FLAC, which is a lossless audio codec, or Apple lossless codec. There's a few codecs besides WAV that are lossless, so whatever he hears should be what's actually in the original data.
Yeah, FLAC is free. It's like a MP3, and I think that the native audio format on DVDs is MP3 too. It's a lossy compression, which means it drops out bits that, you know, it thinks that most humans can't hear to be able to get the file size down. FLAC just stands for Free Lossless Audio Codec.
And I don't even think you can play CDA files without them being...
You're going to have to convert them over.
They're actual CD image...
track images.
Images, yeah. So you can't actually open up a CDA file and play it that I can tell. And I may be wrong. I'm not a music... but I've never in all of my computer life heard of anyone converting to CDA... ever, unless they're burning it to a disc as a music CD.
As an image.
Yeah. Huh. So, and I've also there's nothing that tells me that if I'm wrong, let's just say it's possible that I'm wrong, and that there is a way to write it out as a CD, you know, convert the wave to a CDA file. If that's true, the wave is going to be one of your most lossless formats that you have. Once you convert it, you take it through a conversion process and turn it into another type of music file, you're going to lose audio fidelity and you're going to add artifacts to it. That's just the nature of the beast. So the wave is the closest thing to the original audio that you've recorded for the internet.
If you just take the wave and burn it to a CD, then you've basically created what is a CDA
file. Yeah.
File on the CD.
Yeah. So what, I'm sure that there's good reason why this finicky audio file is complaining about the stuff that you're doing for him, but
I envy him. He can hear the most.
Well, if he's got that sensitive a hearing,
is he listening to this music on a DVD player? Shouldn't he have like a really awesome stereo with like a Macintosh amplifier and like, you know, some like $10,000 like Magnadyne Magnaplaner speakers or something?
I think he'd probably hear more artifacts than if he did it that way. I don't know. It's amazing stuff. But all right,
what about getting him something where he can listen to these things online himself?
Yeah, we're kind of working on that. It's kind of, he's in a different state.
Yeah, I would say that you're not going to get him anything better than what you got. If anything, you need to... an internet broadcast is by default is going to be low fidelity.
You may be capturing it at a very high fidelity, like, you know, you're doing a faithful recreation, but it just sounds bad to start with.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, possibly. Internet radios, radios.
There are some internet streaming radios that have pretty high quality streams.
Actually, when I go to the website where this show is and I launch Real Audio, and I record away from Real Audio as it's playing.
I'm not sure what Real Audio's stream rates are.
Yeah, I think it depends on the source, and I think it's 128. I'm not really sure.
Well, the source for internet streaming is just, you know, give me an example of one of the stations, if you can. Is it something really mainstream, or is it something...
It's something he loves called Pop Gold Radio. It's free, it's nothing, I shouldn't have said that, but it's just a stream of audio, of music that he likes, and I'll make discs of that and send it to him, and
Pop Gold Radio?
Yes.
Okay, the greatest hits of the 60s and 70s. Nothing wrong with that. I love that music from the 60s and 70s.
Not me.
It is not a very high-tech-looking website. Let me see if I can find shows. And
see what the bit stream rates are?
The Time Machine. Upcoming shows that...
seeing this thing in the upper right where you click on, and then the streams will come up, and you have a choice as to what kind of stream you want to use.
Right. Because of bandwidth concerns, they do not stream internet radio at very high fidelity unless it's a dedicated like music site like Soma or
DIFM,
something like that. But these kind of shows, like, they're not... I mean, the website's telling me that this guy is probably not producing... You know, I mean, it's probably pretty good, but he's not producing this high-fidelity, true audiophile...
experience.
Yeah. So, again, it sounds to me like if you... And so why are you burning to DVD instead of CD, for example?
Just get a lot of information on one disc, a couple hours on one disc.
Well, there is that. I guess, what do you get on a CD these days?
71 minutes, 72 minutes.
I could take it could go for a couple of hours.
Why don't you write them out? If you want to find out if another thing you could do is use one of the CDA programs and burn it out to a CD and just see if he likes that better.
And yeah, maybe
just make a shorter version.
Yeah.
That's just the CD.
That would at least tell you if the I don't think the CDA format's going to make a difference, but it would at least tell you if you have captured something that maybe in another format he'll appreciate or he'll like. But all right, well, I wish you a lot of luck. Thanks for your call tonight.
Thank you.
All right, bye. I don't know, some finicky mail order guy that I'm sending DVDs to that I'm recording internet radio from.
That that's finicky about audio, but is listening to it through a DVD player.
And not providing his own music. I mean, there's sure there's a backstory there somewhere.
It's for another show, I think.
Find some internet. Get an internet-connected device. There's so much streaming audio out there.
Or, like, just a radio.
Did they have an
old... Isn't there, like, a 60s, 70s station in Houston still, surely?
Yeah, but these DVDs are tons of content and commercial-free.
Although,
yeah.
Oh, well, I was going to say, at this point, it may be, you know, the best Tejano hits from the 60s and 70s.
Though. Yeah, you never know.
All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. My computer makes weird little noises, and I don't know what it is that's talking to me.
Facebook, maybe?
It sounds like Facebook, but I didn't see any actual notifications.
When you get a message.
There was a radio Beep-doop. Show you could call and ask them questions.
I wonder if we could interrupt that Brony show and ask him a computer question.
Beep-doop.
All right, 713-526-5738. Who's up next, Groovehouse?
Up next, we are going to speak with Yvette.
Beep-doop.
Beep-doop. Hi, Yvette.
Hey guys, it's Yvette.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I had a question about Mac Outlook 2011. At work recently, we were requested and required to share all of our calendars out. So we all dutifully did, and then to open a shared calendar in Outlook, you know, add it to the list of shared calendars to be able to see or not see.
This is an exchange environment?
Yeah, it's an exchange okay. environment. And now my mail is constantly refreshing. Now it's playing whack-a-mole trying to click on an email to open it up.
Getting any tickets?
So your mail is constantly refreshing, like new messages are coming in?
Well, it's not that new messages are coming in. It's constantly, it looks like it's constantly pulling the server every 60 seconds, and now that it's got all these shared calendars that it knows about, whether or not you have them visible, I guess it's added to the load or whatever, but it's just weird.
Does it keep saying update local?
I made a copy of my Outlook identity and did the Outlook repair tool. That didn't seem to help. I thought maybe that it had something to do with some of my smart folders for filtering, like for my unread mail and things like that. So I blew that away and redid those, and it's still doing it.
Okay, so do you know if it's saying update local when it does that? Does it flash that anywhere?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so it looks like this happened a few months ago. It looks like it may be a permissions issue. So if you can, like, hop in, it's probably, like, under your user directory and then documents, Microsoft user data, Office 2011 identities. And are you familiar with, like, you know, like, chmod, to be able to change permissions?
Yeah.
So under documents, Microsoft user data, Office 2011 identities, do a chmod and do a recursive, so dash capital R, and then give everything, give main identity, plus W. Make that writable.
Make it all writable? Okay,
and
I'll
I'm seeing
that.
More than a handful of people are saying that gets rid of the updating local issue.
Okay.
So it's trying to write over that, and it's trying to write and say, hey, I got it. But if it can't write to that file, it'll never know that it's got the last bit of mail. And I think that's what's going on.
I've also got a lot of errors pop. You know, you get your little yellow triangle there and look at that, and it looks like it's probably just a bunch of old, unshared or not writable anymore calendar entries from people.
Yeah, you know, back up the whole thing and just give it all.
An aggravating factor or not.
Yeah, I mean, I would maybe, like, you know, zip, you know, tarp the whole thing, back it all up, and you can go in and just, like, throw some different permissions. Like, even just give it, like, a chmod 777 all the way across just to see if the errors go away.
Yeah.
And then if it does, then you can actually go back in, restore your other, and then find out exactly what needs, you know, just give it only the permissions it needs. But usually with that, that's usually what's going on. It'll behave mysteriously, because Microsoft isn't used to programming for Unix permissions. So I see it crop up in weird Office documents.
They've never done a really good job with their Macintosh Outlook product.
It's always kind of an afterthought. I didn't even know they had a 2011 out. I'm still on the older version because I just got used to them never updating.
Yeah, we've got 2011, and we're in the process of upgrading our infrastructure to the Exchange Server 2010. so I might be able to manage my rules on the Mac side again one of these days.
Is there an equivalent? Is there a better Exchange type client other than Outlook that you can use in an Exchange environment on the Mac?
I use Mac Mail.
Mac Mail?
The native client. It you lose a little bit of functionality, but you don't have to install Outlook on your Mac.
Can you share calendars?
You have to use iCal, and so yeah, you lose some of that.
Okay.
And iCal is kind of,
you know, we've got the whole collaborative environment there, and with Communicator and everything else, so they really frown on having.
Why don't you
that stuff? You can run Mac versions because I used to run Microsoft Communicator on Mac, and now I run Microsoft Link on Mac.
Why don't you just run Outlook in a virtual machine?
I don't want to have to use my virtual machine for that. But that kind of detracts from my excuse for having gotten the Mac in the first place.
So you have to make this work so that people don't say, see, should have gotten a Windows computer.
Exactly.
Right.
And I'm trying to avoid having to just completely blow away the profile and redo everything, which may cause me to lose what's in my monolithic database that Microsoft, in their infinite wisdom, decided to do on the Mac instead of having PST files.
Do you think it's a problem with your Outlook profile?
I thought that it might have an issue with my Outlook profile, but I actually have access to the enterprise email logs, and it looks like my system. I can definitely see that at about the time that we started doing the calendar share stuff.
That's when the problem cropped up.
Yeah, the traffic really increased on my system.
Check out. I bet it's a permissions issue.
Servers. Think so?
Because if it can't write to that file, it's going to keep requesting, and you're going to see a traffic spike.
Right, because it went from, like, you know, maybe 2,000 requests a day, because I get a lot of mail, to 30 or 40,000 a day with the same amount of mail.
Okay. Well, try what Barrett suggested, and I guess the other thing you could do is create a new user profile on the Mac and log in there and set up Outlook and see what happens.
Yeah. You know how it is with us techies. We don't want to have to call the help desk if we don't have to.
I know. I hear you.
Because they'll come in and reformat the machine.
Undo all the things you spent so much time
doing. Exactly. They just come in and see you have a Mac and kind of like throw their hands up and walk away?
Yeah.
Put Windows on it. Here you go.
All right. I fixed your computer problem. Here's your Dell.
Yeah. All right. So I'll play with Chamad tomorrow when I get back to work.
I just like that she knew what Chamad was. Yeah, you know, that's great to have a caller like that. All right, Yvette. Thanks for your call.
Thanks,
I call
guys.
You Yvette, but it's Yvette, right?
Yeah.
I know. I mangle that every time I get it. Sorry.
See you next Friday.
Oh, excellent.
Keep gathering.
Keep gathering. All right. All bye-bye.
Right.
Bye. Bye-bye. What are we singing? I don't get it.
It's the outro music.
Oh, because he doesn't have it on the disc?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't have my computer hooked up to the
34 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, we don't even have enough people to make the outro go very long.
We can be out of here in
is there a bear time?
Seconds. No,
of course not.
Wow.
Well, dude, the muffler fell off of my Vespa on 610, so that slowed me down just a bit.
All right. Well, you're tuned in to Technology Bites. We're glad you're here. We got to take a short break to do some station business, but we'll be right back. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Clifton.
I'm Barrett.
There goes my muffler.
Thank you so much. Oh my goodness. Thank you. Delicious. Thank you.
It was great. Gastropub. Chef Roy Rodriguez of the Urban Harvest Market. Riva's Italian Restaurant. Two Guys Pizzeria. A Latin's Mediterranean Corner. These are just a few of the restaurants that supported KPFT during our last pledge drive. And from the staff and volunteers of KPFT, we want to say
thank you.
If you are a restaurant and want to support KPFT by feeding our volunteers during our next pledge drive, please call 713-526-4000, extension 301. You're listening to KPFT Houston.
Join KPFT at Discovery Green on Thursdays for great summer concerts co-sponsored by your community radio station. This Thursday, Grady Gaines and the Texas Upsetters close out the performance series with their signature brand of blues, rock, and roots music, sure to make a hot evening even hotter. That's Thursday, June 27th, starting at 6:30 p.m. at Discovery Green, downtown, near the George R. Brown Convention Center. Visit kpft.org for more information. This is KPFT Houston.
Hit me, horn.
You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston. Thank you. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program, which might or might not be something called Technology Bites.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Technology Bites. Yeah, we have these, we have some, you know, when we go away and do a little station business, if you're listening in Houston, it sounds great, fine, but we have to produce this kind of 2-minute section for it to work out properly for the syndicates. Thank you, Groovehouse. Appreciate it. I appreciate you not breaking the rules of the station and or enabling me to do that.
You're
all right, so before we go back to the call, 713-526-5738, I do need to share that I have been engaged in an experiment. My wife, Cynthia, we've been together coming up on 21 years. This be 21 years the same month of the Geek Gathering.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I've been nerdifying her. She has, in the whole time that we've been together, has never seen the Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw them when I was a kid. I don't know if I've rewatched them.
Any of the three?
Any of them. She's seen bits and pieces, caught it in passing, but never actually sat down. I mean, she basically knew the story because it's the same story, right? It's the mm-hmm. good versus evil story. But she never seen them. So she actually, because we've been watching The Big Bang Theory, and there are so many Star Wars references and Star Trek references, she kind of got interested in wanting to go ahead and see the movie. And it's been interesting to watch somebody watch these movies who has never seen them before, but has had, you know, the last 30
all these
years.
Pop culture references.
Exactly. Have the yeah. last. And my wife, you can pretty much spring a pop culture reference on her and she won't get it. It just, she's not into pop culture. I mean, her music taste kind of cuts off at the end of the 1960s, early 70s. So pop rock, all that stuff that since then, not familiar. Movies didn't go. She's not a big going to the theaters kind of person, nor am I anymore, but she didn't go to the theaters to see the latest release. She doesn't watch a lot of movies. She reads a lot of books. She's that way. So to give you an idea how pervasive that Star Wars pop culture references are, she knew a lot of them. So as they came across, you know, the whole I Am Your Father, Luke, and Yoda talking and the way he talks and all of that stuff, oh, that's where that comes from. Oh, and then she goes, oh, this is what he's going to do. And she'd be right. So we've made it through the first, we watched the first three movies. I couldn't find the original cuts. So they're the, you know, the spliced, the spruced up Lucas versions.
See, I've got them.
On?
On DVD.
The first original uncut ones.
The cuts that don't have all the added CGI. Special effects, CGI stuff.
Right. Nobody yeah. apparently has the originals.
They put out, on, well, you can get them on VHS, the original version right. on VHS tape. I have modified versions on VHS tape. Then I have modified versions on DVD. Then they put out two DVD sets that have the modified version and the original version. So I have a set of those. And then I have a set on Blu-ray. But now all of these are only the real Star Wars movies, not the later three, just
right,
the original
right,
three.
Right. So, well, you know, the nuance between the digitally remastered, reworked ones not going to have that much effect on her overall. But
like, you know, like Han Solo didn't step on Yoda's tail.
Right. Then Han shot first.
Yoda?
You guys lost me
say Yoda?
When you said like, there are more than three Star
Jabba
Wars.
You mean Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt.
There are more than three Star Wars movies?
No, there are not.
All right, here's a question for all the nerds. Have you not seen the newer three movies?
I mean, it's kind of a thing to...
I understand.
I saw them.
You deny their existence, but...
But I still saw them in the theater. Yeah.
In the theater.
I have seen three movies that had the word Star Wars in their title.
Roomhouse?
That aren't the real
Star
Wars movies.
Have you seen all six movies that have the word Star Wars in the title?
Yes, all of them.
Okay. Now, fine. The newer three movies, the clones, the whatever, those movies, Jar Jar Binks, the Jar Jar Binks dance extravaganza, we can agree that they're probably not very good.
They kind of did
a lot to destroy what we thought of Star Wars. But
no, I don't.
Can, yeah. But no, okay, I'm just trying to go to the most extreme. Let's just say they suck. But can you imagine having not seen them?
Yes.
Really?
The later three?
Yeah.
Yes.
So there, if somebody had come up to you that you knew or respected in terms of geek culture and said, or you from the future, said, do not watch the three new movies, would you have listened?
I think I would have.
Yeah.
And the reason...
That's not the slightest bit colored with your...
And I'll tell you the reason that I say this is because it was already obvious that Lucas was a one-trick pony, and really his best trick was actually directed and partially written by somebody else. Like, he had a really good idea, and he did the marketing really well, and it's not that, like, Star Wars, the first one, actually is, like, this like, incredible movie and incredible actors and incredible plot and incredible dialogue. It's just that at the time, it sparked an idea that spread through, like, culture and especially children that has basically, like, changed our vision.
Millions of voices cried out and were suddenly sold a Chewbacca doll?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it changed our perspective.
I agree.
I don't think that there's any way for people in a certain age range to have a realistic view of what the Star Wars movie really is just in and of itself. But the second one was really good and was much darker, even though I like the first one best just because that's me. But a lot of people like Empire Strikes Back better. But even in that one, it was still kind of falling off. And to be honest, Return of the Jedi, like, I didn't like it very much. In fact, even before these next three movies came out, I've always called Return of the Jedi Star Wars the Muppets Take Star Wars.
Right.
That's what I've always called it because it's just... It's overloaded with shtick and Muppets
and Han Solo mugging for the camera. And I agree. I there's no way to convey, you know, the thing I could not convey to Cynthia, nor, you know, I don't think anybody could convey to someone who hasn't seen them, is first of all what it was like to go to the theaters in 1976 or 1977.
It was such a... It was just so different than any other movies.
I mean, when I was
style, like the, I mean, the special effects and stuff were just so far beyond.
I mean, I grew up in the era of, you know, you could see the strings holding the spaceships, you know, Ultramans and Godzillas and stuff, and everything looked fake. And Star Wars came out, and it was amazing. You cannot give that experience to somebody 30 years later.
No.
But I will say this, we've made it all the way through five movies. We got one more movie to watch, the last film.
Are you watching them in release order, or are you actually watching them in the... Okay. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that argue about the best way to watch them, and it's not release order.
Yeah.
Because the deal is you still get the big reveal at the end if you watch Return of the Jedi last.
Right. Yeah. But no.
And just don't even watch the one with Jar Jar Binks.
We're replicating...
Or watch the Phantom Edit.
We're replicating the experience that the average nerd had, which was to watch it unreleased.
So, amazement, teen amazement, somewhat of a letdown, and then three crushing blows.
Severely time compressed.
Yeah.
Because, well, you know, on the other side of the coin is that she did not have 15, 20 years to kind of
build it up and think about it and imagine what it would look like.
To build, like, who these characters were to you and what they meant and what the story meant and all that stuff. Yeah, that's definitely a big piece of... Yeah, when people are going in, I mean, they've invested money and years of their childhood into these toys and creating new stories of their own, playing with these toys, and it's a part of their life. And yeah, I mean, there's some expectations of, you know, what they're going to, you know, what should happen. They don't want their childhood to be, they don't want their memory to be sold.
All right, we'll come back to this topic here in a minute, but we have a call in the queue, and we're going to have Groovehouse share it with us. Who's up next, Groovehouse?
Up next, we're going to speak with Mike.
Mike, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Oh, hey there. Nice of you to take my call.
Oh, no problem.
Okay. What it is I've always been like a Microsoft, mostly for work, and that's what I started off with. But I've looked at getting a Mac, and I noticed the new MacBook Pros are coming out with Retina screens and stuff like that, and they were talking about a release like in June or July, the new one. And what I've run into in the past is you always buy a computer and you try to save on money to get you a good value, but then you start loading it up with like pictures or video or software and it starts bogging down after a year or so. So I was just wondering on the new MacBook Pro books, what's a good setup on it? Because I know that it starts off with, say, like, I don't know, 4 gigs of RAM or something. And do you recommend spending like a $2,200 on the basic one? And then what I want to do is I'm wanting to edit like YouTube videos on, well, not YouTube videos, like, you know, like hard drive from like a little DVR camera, like a Canon EOS 6. I want to do video on it. And just looking for your feedback and feel on what's the minimum requirements. Or is it best just take, go ahead and spend $3,000 and get the optioned out with the 76 SSD and other features?
Well, go ahead. I just bought the new MacBook Air. And it's not completely, I mean, it's the top-of-the-line MacBook Air, but it's nothing compared to the top-of-the-line MacBook Pro. I mean, the MacBook Pro is a sweet machine and has a lot of horsepower. But this new MacBook Air, I don't know, if you're talking about editing videos, I don't know what level of video editing, and people always throw this, I'm going to edit videos, but...
Unless, like 720p, you know, maybe 1080.
Is it
whatever.
Something you've done before?
No, all I've ever done is just photographs, you know, doing photographs, JPEGs, and maybe RAWs. And I know RAWs, because I've done photography, I've switched over to digital about 5-6 years ago, and a RAW file will just chew up your hard drive.
Well, storage is storage. It doesn't matter. So if you
got an external hard drive.
You buy a computer, you have enough storage to dump the files on, so you have room to work on them. So you've got the MacBook Air maxes out at half a terabyte of storage. Let me see what the MacBook Pro, if you take a look at the new MacBook Pro. Now, first of all, you can save money by not getting the Retina display.
Really? I thought that was the whole new feature of it, why you would want to get one so you can edit.
How is that going to help you edit photos or edit movies?
Makes it look better.
Pretty. But you could skip it. Conceivably, you could skip it, but you don't have to skip it. What size? 13-inch, 15-inch? Why would you? First of all, if you're going to do video editing, why are you talking about a laptop?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Just because when you sometimes want to show people your work, I've seen this in the past, because I always had desktops because they had the most horsepower for the value for the price. But then when I'd want to sit there and I'd shoot some photographs and download them, put them on my hard. You'd have to put them like a flash or burn into a CD to show people, and I found it really nice just to be able to just download it to a...
Do you show it to them in real time?
Yeah, I just carry the laptop over, because about 6-7 years ago I was doing some family photography, and it was really, really impressed people just to be able to sit there and just whip open, like, say, a Dell or a Gateway Media Center laptop, like with a 15.6-inch screen. And you just let them flip through it, you know, go through the photographs, and they can pick the ones they want.
I mean, you wouldn't have a 15-inch screen, but if you were considering, you know, dropping, like, around $3,000 for one of the high-end MacBook Pros, you could get, like, a MacBook Air for, you know, a G or a little bit more, and then you could go get, like, a $2,000 workhorse of a, you know, like a Dell XPS like Groovehouse just got, or something that's super powerful for actually processing videos, processing, you know, anything you want to, and just leave that at home.
But depending on what kind of your video you're going to process... computers today are...
Well, you're not going to process video in real time on the fly while you're out.
Yeah,
on
while
the
you're
road.
Out there, you just want something to just,
so
just
what start. I did is I bought a workhorse of a workstation so that I could do my primary work on it, and then I bought, you know, a reasonably priced laptop so I can still do work on it in the field or when I'm traveling or when I'm out and about, or if I need to throw an SD card into the SD reader and load up some raw files and bring them into Lightroom or whatever and show somebody. So you've got that.
Yeah, that makes sense. You like the little 27-inch. I can hear you remarked about the 27-inch.
Yeah, the 27-inch iMac. So, you know, when I'm doing serious work, if I was going to sit down and if I'm talking about really editing video, I'm not going to do that on a laptop. You know, I might do a little bit of it.
Your fans will kick on. Your laptop will melt down. I mean, mine is in constant meltdown mode when I'm compiling code or when I'm doing, you know, developer stuff. And it's just, you don't want to throw it on a laptop. And I'm sure video would only be worse on it.
But
so.
you can look at the 13 or the 15-inch MacBook Pros. They're both very nice machines. You do pay quite a bit of a premium, it looks like, for the Retina display.
Yes.
There's a couple of $100
but
to add
getting,
that on
if you're getting a Pro, you can also put your own memory in it. So you can save some money by buying memory. Instead of maxing it out from Apple, you can actually go to MacMall or Crucial or somewhere and buy
the
memory.
The other thing is if you go with the Retina display, obviously the base unit comes with a SSD hard drive.
Right.
And that's great. I mean, when I'm writing out my JPEGs from RAW and doing that, and everything's much snappier on the SSD. You do sacrifice a little bit of space. I mean, for example, if you buy the Retina, the 13-inch MacBook Pro, and you decide it comes with 256 gigs of flash, and you want to up that to the max of 768 gigs, that's a $700 upgrade.
Yep.
So it's not cheap to get there.
No. SSDs are still really expensive. I like the idea of a desktop and then just grabbing a MacBook Air just drag around with me, because I bought my niece, she's working on her master's at Texas A&M, and I got her optioned out MacBook Pro that still had the disk drive on, you know, CD-ROM drive about a year and a half ago. And she just loves it, even though she totally grew up with a PC. And by the way, she used Dwight Silverman's book that I bought and had autographed. You know,
nice.
PC. And she said it's well written and clear, and I'll really have. And I thought, well, that's good. I knew it would be.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that laptop. You know, my mid 2009 MacBook Pro, I had 8 gigs of RAM in it and 250 gig hard drive, and I was using it on the road to process images. It would bog down a little bit, but it wasn't horrible. And I'm working with 25 meg RAW files.
Wow, that's large.
Well, once you carry around an Air 2, it'll be really hard to go back to a really heavy laptop. You'll find that out pretty soon.
Yeah, what I'm really liking about this Air is that, you know, it is zippy and it's good performance. Like I said, I haven't tried to do video editing on it. I've done some video editing on my old MacBook Pro. And it did it. I mean, it was just took a little, like an hour or so to render out a 5 or 10 minute file. But
next simple question, because I'm going to go with the desktop and then go with the MacBook Air for like just toting around. I have a friend of mine. She used to work for a production company for the local television station. She would edit her videos with a Pro X, you know, 7, and now they got the new Pro X 10 for Apple. And people have been criticizing it and stuff. And I'm just wondering, what's some simple video software? And I don't care if it costs $200 or $300. I just want something that it's simple to use, but it'll have a little bit more features to where if you start doing some slow motion and some changing of colors and background changes, that you can grow into it.
I would say, since you've never really done much video editing anyway, if you get one of the new Macs, they come with iMovie.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fully featured. I mean, it's not pro grade by any stretch of the imagination, but it's got a lot of features.
You can do some features and just play with it and see what
that'll give you an idea of what you're looking at in terms of a video editing tool. And then you would be able to make a more informed choice if you're going to go out and spend for one of these top notch ones. But Adobe Premiere is the one that I hear from everybody. That's the one to go with.
Yeah, you're probably talking about Pro Tools.
Yeah, Final Cut Pro.
Cut and Pro. That's what, I mean, seriously, like iMovie right now for free has just about everything, you know, Final Cut had 4 or 5 years ago.
Really?
I mean, just about. Not quite. There's probably that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but it makes it. I mean, it's getting to the point now where on your iPhone or on your Android phone, you can almost do the same level of real time video editing in a much lower resolution than you could with like studio equipment 10 years ago.
Okay, and I like the Adobe because I have a friend that runs the Element 10 or 11 for just doing photographic editing. And it works pretty smoothly. He's been very pleased with it.
Unless you just want to throw a whole lot of money out there, just try iMovie just to start with and just see if it'll do what you want it to do. And then, start buying other packages. But you might be surprised with what comes just straight out of the box.
Okay, good. I appreciate the info.
All right.
Y'all been very helpful. That's why I call you guys.
Well, we appreciate the call tonight.
Yeah, have fun with the new hardware.
All right, thanks.
All right, have a good night. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. So, Friday, probably Friday, we'll watch the last Star Wars movie. Cynthia agrees that that Jar Jar Binks is pretty irritating. And the first three movies is, that's a pretty nice wrap up of story. The next three movies, they're trying, there's a lot of struggle going on there to try to build up the backstory on your characters and trying to kind of.
And there's way too much inbreeding. Like, I was so annoyed when I was watching it. I'm like, oh, look, Darth Vader built C-3PO. That's so stupid. It's so stupid.
But. Cynthia was really glad to see R2-D2 and C-3PO. R2-D2 is her favorite character.
Also, Laurel and Hardy of it.
Also, R2-D2 is my parrot's favorite character.
Oh.
He's never seen the Star Wars movies either, and now
he's making
R2-D2 noises. He did one the other day. It was really good.
Can you video this?
I'll try.
He
doesn't like to perform for the camera or on command, but he loves whistles and electronic noises,
wow.
And he goes nuts for R2-D2. It gets him real, and the battle scenes are great. He loves pew.
Wow, if he started making those noises, that would just be.
Yeah, he would be the Star Wars bird.
Real geek parrot.
So, but after we finish the Star Wars movies, for good or for ill, and trying to figure out what the next thing is.
Lord of the Rings.
Blade Runner.
Farscape.
I think Blade Runner might be too dark for
Firefly.
Her.
Firefly.
Really? But she might like it. So it's based on a book.
That
it is. It's based on.
I know. It's based on. Android's Dream of Electronic
by
Sheep.
Philip K. Dick. As is Minority Report.
Right.
Yeah.
And.
Did you like Minority Report?
I thought Minority Report was pretty good.
I kind of liked it.
I was thinking.
Not a huge fan of
Tom Cruise,
but I thought it was a pretty
definitely
good movie.
You could do the Indiana Jones
at least the first one. I wouldn't necessarily do the whole trilogy.
Didn't Lucas help write the first Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
So that has a tie in there,
definitely.
But I was also thinking
American Graffiti.
Yeah,
American Graffiti.
He did that too. That was arguably his one movie that was decent outside of the first Star Wars movie.
THX.
George Lucas. He did.
See, I don't think he was getting into THX.
I didn't think THX was that great.
I don't think it's that accessible. Yeah.
Howard the Duck.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was thinking.
What about
Alien?
Aliens.
The original.
Definitely good, because
yes,
it's a horror.
I just saw it.
It's a horror film in space. It's not really.
I just saw it at the Museum of Natural Science a couple weeks ago.
That was one of the most.
I personally think way, way, way better than Aliens.
It's the best one.
I know a lot of nerdy people think Aliens is awesome, but I think Alien is a way better movie.
Alien was fantastic. The only gripe I had is I went and I read the book after I watched the movie.
Oh, wow.
Which the movie was, I think the movie was, the story for the book was written from the movie, or they're basically the same thing. There were two scenes in the book that if had they been in the movie, would have made the movie way, way better.
Wow.
Just way better.
I gotta read this. No spoilers.
The spoilers?
No, you can tell me. I don't care. The first
scene was when there was an opportunity to kill the alien, or at least maybe kill the alien, and the android guy intervened. And that was when you got to know early on that this guy is up to no good. And the other scene that they left out was Dallas, when he went looking for the alien and they lost him. She went looking for him, and she found him, and he was still alive.
but he was wrapped up in the stuff. Right. So you knew early on that they weren't, not only were these people getting kind of captured, killed by the aliens, but they weren't dying right away, and it was a lot more gruesome. So
cool. I've got a possible follow-up to Star Wars. You could lead her into Spaceballs. As one movie, just to see, you know, Dark Helmet and all that.
I showed her Hardware Wars last night.
Nice.
I haven't seen salad. That in forever.
It holds up really well. Not really. But it's really horrible, but it's great.
Can you see the strings holding up the irons?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, actually, if you do a Google search.
And I showed her Chad Vader.
That's actually awesome.
That's good.
Yeah.
There's if you search online, there's actually people that talk about, like, you know, like the 10
top geek
movies to watch. That might give you a good idea.
I've looked at some of those again. I think some, like, I think Blade Runner might be a little too dark.
Did you?
But it's got Harrison Ford, so she might like that.
Did you show Troopers?
Not yet. I need to show Troopers.
Troopers is awesome.
I know. Have you seen Troopers?
Troopers, yeah.
Oh.
Is that, no, not Starship Troopers, but actual
Troopers. No, the cops. Bad Boys. Bad Boys.
The Broken Lizard, right? The Canadian guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've watched that enough times to almost know all the lines. That's why I grew my mustache.
All right. 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you want to be on the air. 713-526-KPFT. Yes, it's got to be my notification center.
Just bite this out.
Can we take a call?
Yes, let's take a call.
Excellent. Up next on the show, we are going to speak with Jody.
Jody, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys. Thanks for what you do. I'm like pizza girl. I deliver things in the evening, and I'm in and out your show, but I really like it. I heard one of the guys earlier say that he doesn't have cable, and I was wondering how I can drop AT&T cable and still have a clear picture on my newish television.
Well, you can have a clear picture on your newest television with a, is it HD television?
It is.
The HD antenna, you can pick up broadcast for HD is one way. Right. The other way is to use the device to deliver online content like Netflix or Hulu.
And that will produce a clear picture.
Do you have a broadband connection at home?
Well, she wants to get rid of it. That's what she's saying.
So she's wanting to get rid of her cable TV.
Oh, I see.
Have to keep your internet connection. Will you keep an internet connection around?
Yes, sir. I'm going to keep the internet connection. I'm trying to. I've disconnected my home phone, and I'd like to disconnect my cable.
Okay, so Dwight Silverman, who does the show with us, who's not here tonight, has been writing some articles about how he's cut the cable. But one of the things, the first thing, the no-cost solution is that you can get all your broadcast TV delivered over an antenna. So you get a digital HD antenna for your TV, and you get all the broadcast channels. And they are actually better quality HD than the equivalent cable version.
Great. Because and where do you buy these?
You can buy a. Where did you get your
Radio Shack?
Radio Shack.
You can go to Best Buy. You can go to, you know. I made
mine.
It's basically a set of rabbit ears that plug into the antenna connection on your TV.
I made mine with four metal coat hangers, a piece of wood, and one coax converter.
Right. It can be done, but your best bet is just to go and get.
And they're not expensive.
Yeah, I know.
So yeah, that would give you all your
broadcast. Huh? The other.
I don't know that one's necessarily better than the other. They're all basically
the same.
It's broadcast TV.
Yeah.
But your old rabbit ears
will not work.
They work. On the right frequency, but they don't work as well.
Well, if she got a newish TV, she probably doesn't have rabbit ears.
As long as the TV has a built-in tuner and you can plug the rabbit ears in, then you're good.
Yeah, as long as
my TV's a flat panel, but it doesn't have a tuner.
Right. It's not like a big monitor. It's an actual TV.
You had to buy the little converter box.
Because yours didn't have the tuner built in.
Right, not built in.
So, yeah, the antenna's cheap. It's not terribly expensive. It's, you know, $30 or somewhere in that range.
And the channels come in HD, and it's pretty nice.
The HD quality is better than cable's HD.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is something, I just unplug my cable, I plug in my digital HD antenna that I buy at Radio Shack or Best Buy.
Right, and you may have to, does it plug it, is your cable plugged into the coax on your TV, or is it plugged into the HDMI or what?
I don't know that. I have, I have AT&T, so I have, the U-verse system.
That's probably, I don't know how that's delivered into your television. It could be delivered through coax or it could be delivered over HDMI. The only thing you might have to do is change the input on the TV.
From digital to analog.
Okay, so
digital
do the,
over the air.
Choose the input as a different input.
Right.
Yeah, choose digital over the air.
Yeah, digital over the air, whatever they have.
You should find about, I think about 66 channels.
A lot of them are in different languages, though.
But a lot of them are in Spanish, probably about half of them, and then there's a couple in Vietnamese and one or two in Chinese, Mandarin Chinese.
But they have ABC, you have NBC, CBS, Fox, all those.
But the thing is, a lot of them have, because they're doing it digitally now, they actually have multiple frequencies on what was original old frequency.
Yeah, like
so,
PBS channel.
Like PBS is 8. But you've got 8.1, 8.2, 8.3. You can have up to 8 sub-channels on a channel. So those 66 aren't numbers 1 through 66. It's like 2.1,
now,
2.2.
Is for example, on broadcast TV, channel 13 is channel 13.
Right.
Do you have to go to 313 or 613 on broadcast?
No, that's on cable. It's 13. 13.1, 13.2.
Sub-channels.
Yeah.
13.1, 13.2.
No, but I'm saying that the HD is delivered on
the
channel,
actual channel.
On the actual channel.
The main channel,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
If they say, Fox 2 or whatever, then it's channel 2 on over the air.
It's pretty cool.
So that's an option for you. And then the next option that you have is you could get a device like a Roku box or an Xbox or whatever you like.
Boxy box.
I
was going to say, she may even just look, your TV may do it if it's a newish TV.
Is your TV what they call a smart TV?
No, it's not.
Okay. So they make boxes like, for example, Roku. Has a box. Once you connect it to your TV and you connect it to your internet connection,
you have to have an internet connection. She's not cutting.
I've got it.
Right. Okay. And so, and it allows you to use services like Hulu and Netflix. Now there's subscription services. Netflix, I think for watching movies is about
$9 a month or something.
Yeah, less than
but
10 a month.
There's also a lot of free stuff on Roku as well. So
yeah.
You don't have to pay for everything.
Right. But you have ways. But Roku allows you to deliver internet content, internet broadcast content to your television.
Pretty neat.
And there are some free services.
And Roku is a free service?
Yeah,
you buy the box.
Roku is a piece of hardware.
Yeah, it's a little bitty, like it's maybe 2 inches tall by 4 inches by 4 inches, and they start out at like around $40 or $50. You can go all the way up to like $100 for the deluxe one. But yeah, it acts like what a DVD player would act like. As far as you've got an interface, you've got a remote, and then you can go in, put in passwords, and you can do Amazon Video. You can do all the stuff Jay said, and then there are a lot of just Roku channels. They've got something that's called a channel store, and for the most part, everything's free. You can go in, subscribe to new stuff, subscribe to whatever you want to watch YouTube videos. Have it do show Facebook stuff. It more or less takes all the functionality that are going into smart TVs. And
okay.
It offloads it into this $50-$60 device. So it's
kind
of worthwhile.
Very cool.
Yeah, especially if you have an Amazon account or Amazon Prime, you get like tens of thousands of things that you can stream for free.
That is really great.
All right.
That's fabulous. Thank you. I have one other question. A couple of weeks ago, you guys were talking about one of the, I think you were talking about Vista phasing out.
XP is going away.
XP.
Well, not going away. It's support for XP is going away.
XP is going away.
Yeah. I mean, still use XP. If you have XP, you can still use it. But there's going to no longer be any updates coming out for it, and there's no support for
basically,
it.
That's as good as it's going to get.
Okay, I got it. Okay. Thank you guys very much. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for your call. Have a good night.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, 713-526-573. What?
I said good luck cutting the cable.
Good luck cutting the cable.
I've done it. It's been over a year
getting
or more.
Netflix account. Did y'all mention that?
Yes, we did.
Because you can get a lot of stuff.
Yep.
But some people burn through that stuff really fast. I don't watch much TV ever, so Netflix lasts me forever for years.
I will say this. What I'm really digging about the new Xfinity X1 service. You know, I've added my cable. I've tightened it, my cable, so I'm even more attached to it than I was before. But you can search. And, like, if a show's coming up and it's in the calendar in the next week or so, a movie or whatever, like, I was looking for stuff to record for us to watch, even if it's just broadcast, but there's a ton of HD channels. And so I've got a copy. I'm recording. I found Blade Runner was on one of the channels. I'm recording that. I found Alien on one of the channels. I'm recording that. So it's all out there. So, and then you can just search for it, and then you can set up your record, and I don't even know how many I can record at one time, but it has not shut me down yet.
So speaking of other movies, possibilities, she may have already seen these, though. What about Princess Bride?
She loves Princess Bride. That's when I
because that's kind of nerd culture.
I introduced her to Princess Bride early on, you know, a long time ago, 15 years ago.
What about Holy Grail?
Tried to introduce her to Holy Grail. It did not take.
Yeah, it's kind of an esoteric taste. But if she likes Princess Bride and in any way liked any of the Monty Python stuff, what about 12 Monkeys or Brazil, like Terry Gilliam stuff? Because I really like his stuff.
I love Terry Gilliam, but I fear that it would be a little too dark for her, a little too esoteric for her. Especially Brazil, the uncut version.
Yeah, she might like 12 Monkeys, though, because
well, yeah, the ending's pretty dark in the original version of Brazil.
No, you know what? I bet she would like.
But you could see the happy American 89-minute edit of Brazil.
It's got Bruce Willis. He's the
Fifth
cop,
Element.
Fifth Element.
Yeah.
I bet she would like Fifth Element.
Yeah.
War Games. Maybe
it's a little dated.
War Games is still good.
It's dated, but it's got some suspense. I mean, she's a product. You know, she grew up when all the missile stuff
was
going
on.
So, I mean, she would have respect for the idea of the Cold War and missile strikes and all that kind of stuff. So she could get into that. And it's got Dabney Coleman. It's got some, you know, older kind of actors she might be familiar with. So
and
it stands on its own. That's a movie.
Phone Couplers.
That's one of the few movies that actually, like, all the things that they show, they kind of get right. It's not like, you know, a huge screen that says FBI, type in password.
Except that the computer keeps talking even though there's no speaker anywhere.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that's that's high-tech frequency modulation remote microwave stuff that they just couldn't talk about. That stuff really exists.
The other thing that I'm thinking that needs... Now, so we had our first trip to EPO. That was a revelation because she's getting this idea that she wants to play with science, just in the most broadest of terms. But she saw something on the internet, which is a sound plate connected to a tone generator, and you put the salt on it and it makes different shapes. So she wanted to do that. So I said, well, if anybody's going to have the parts to make it, it's going to be electronic part outlet. And I said, that's part of your geekification or your nerdification. Anyway, you got to go to EPO.
You get her to start reading XKCD comic books.
Yeah.
I was thinking I need to get her to read Make magazine, but.
She would really, I think, align with the Make stuff. And even I was thinking, like, she might not have the computer side of it down, but wearable computing is getting kind of big where, you know, you can get, like, these little bitty, more or less, they're Arduinos that are tiny. You can put them through the washer, and they come with, you know, you can get conductive thread. So you could sew in, you know, instead of, you know, the T-shirts that you used to wear, Jay, that, you know, would, like, react to sound and stuff like that, you could take her shirt making to the next level and actually sew in electronics that would do stuff.
There's an idea.
That'd be kind of cool.
Well, we went to the EPO. We got the tone generator. We got the amplifier. We got the conducer or whatever, the transducer for the We got to get the metal plate still. So she's got a friend of hers who she used to work with who's got a metal shop. We think we know what we need to get made there. We were trying to do the initial experiment was 90% success with the part that you actually wanted to happen not happening being the failure. So we had it all hooked up, but there's because it's only a mono channel mono thing connected to it. And the amp is stereo. We had the output plugged into the wrong jack, so it was making the quietest little noise. And it's like, pour the salt on there, and it's not doing anything. It's not vibrating enough. We're not hitting any on a harmonic. And so it was like very disappointing. And so later on, I hooked it all back up, and I said, let me try something here. So I unplugged the transducer for one port, and I plugged it into the other one, and I turned it on, and it made the loudest, loudest. I kicked the tone generator. I mean, my parrot fell off of his perch.
Oh, no.
It was, so we realized that we're very close to making the device. And so, but EPO was fun. It was, we had a good time going there and seeing the R2 D2 unit that they have on the floor there. All right, 713-526-5738.
Oh, yeah, you got the R2 tie-in because she loves R2-D2.
That's right. Got the R2-D2 tie-in, too. Now, here's a question. Do you know the answer? I don't know the answer. I didn't look it up. I put zero effort into finding out the answers. Was there ever anyone inside of the R2?
Yes.
There was. Yes.
Kenny Baker.
Yeah.
Kenny Baker.
Yes, many scenes he acted in it.
Good to know.
And, of course, it was also electronically controlled.
Right.
I know we've got phone calls, but one more series, and I don't know if you've watched it, but the new Doctor Who, like starting with series like 5 or whatever that was, like the new British BBC reboot.
Right. I haven't gotten into it, but it's all over my Facebook.
Neil Gaiman wrote at least one, if not a couple of the episodes of the current season. And if she's never read any Neil Gaiman, you definitely should get her to read Neil Gaiman because his stuff is pretty incredible.
Blah, 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 TARDIS, blah, 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 Doctor
Who. I don't mean his Doctor Who stuff. I mean his actual books. American Gods, right. Nancy Boys, Stardust, Coraline.
All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have up by link to hold?
Up next, we are going to speak with Dave.
Dave, you're on the Aero Technology Bites.
Hey, guys. Hey, I've got a gateway desktop that it gives me a signal saying that I shut it off wrong or something like that, because when you push the button to start it, then it just lights up and it does a little bit of thing and then it kicks off. It just keeps doing that. So is there a reset button or something? Yep. Y'all have any ideas?
So you're saying that when you press the button to turn the computer on,
uh-huh,
it starts to come up and then it shuts back down.
Right. It controls the monitor even. You know, the monitor tries to come on, but when it shuts off, the monitor shuts off, you know.
Right. So it sounds to me like you might have a bad power supply.
Okay.
So how old is the computer?
Oh, it's old. It's a gateway. It's probably 15 years old.
Yeah, I don't know that there's going to be much you can do for that.
Yeah, because I know XP is not coming. It's got XP, and they're not updating that, so.
Well, I'm just saying is that if you would spend about $50 to replace the power supply, anywhere from $10 to $50,
uh-huh,
if you found it used, if you found an old gateway to find a power supply. But I just don't know how much effort a 15-year-old computer would be in trying to make it go. Does it have XP on it?
Yeah, I've done CorelDRAW for years on it. I love it. You know, it does good job for me.
Well, I mean, if you are. I just think it's going to be more money than it's worth to get it fixed.
Well, that may be true, yeah.
But if you're content with aging computer technology, then you might want to check out the computer Goodwill store, Computer Works down there on Westheimer, just past the Beltway.
Yeah,
they have computers that are like 5 years old that are great. They refurbish them and they sell them for relatively cheap, and you get a computer probably loaded up with XP and reload your program on it and off you go for not much money, not much more than you would pay if you tried to fix this one.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, when it's the power box, and you know, I've taken it apart and it's got the reset button, and when you push it on, it does the same thing. You know, it'll try to kick on, but then it shuts off. So
right. Well, the question
power
is
there.
Whether or not it may or may not be the power supply. It might be the system board. It might be the processor. It could be anything.
Right.
So you have to kind of go through this process of elimination to figure it out.
Okay.
So you can take the power supply out, then you can go down to the computer store and get a new power supply that matches the specs that might fit in there. Now, Gateway is like a lot of the manufacturers. They don't use standard size parts, so finding a power supply that might fit back in that case if it's not made by Gateway for that particular model computer, then it may not fit.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, I'll go that route first and check that out. So.
All right.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye. Okay. Bye. All right.
Roadbuster on IRC said, don't forget about the Star Wars Holiday Special and the two Ewok TV movies.
It's got B. Arthur in it.
Oh, my God.
Can you find that show?
Somebody put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's painful.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to watch this. Wouldn't that be a situation where future me would come back and say, don't watch that?
Slap you.
Or do you have to watch it for the camp value?
It's almost like you have to watch it just because to share in the collective pain.
Yeah, but
it's
when that came out, there wasn't a Star Wars movie, and it was like you were.
What do you mean there wasn't a Star Wars movie? Oh, you mean it was filling
movies.
The gap?
Yeah, it was filling the gap, and there were like.
And it's actually
you were fiending for anything Star Wars.
It's actually the introduction of Boba Fett. It's the first place Boba Fett ever showed up
in a cartoon, though.
Not a cartoon. Is it a cartoon?
There's a cartoon segment,
and that's where Boba Fett shows up.
But you don't. I mean.
I got chills.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's so bad. It's just.
It's got Chewbacca's family. It's horrible.
His kids are named Lumpy and Scratchy. I mean, really, that's the whole thing. They're going back to his home planet, and it's bad. His wife calls him on the, I guess, the Millennium Falcon radio. It's not good.
It's horrible.
It's horrible, but there was. Oh. It was.
You can't look
all
away.
You could just, like, you needed that fix. And when it came out, you were just like, oh.
Sucker punch.
Sucker punch. Get in the limo, Barrett.
Flog also recommended Willow and Dr. Strangelove.
Dr. Strangelove would be good.
She'd like that.
Which KD5 then suggested Failsafe.
Failsafe was even better, but Dr. Strangelove was parody of that, right? More or less. Although both movies could be taken very seriously.
Don't have her watch Clockwork Orange.
Hmm.
One of my favorite movies ever, but if she doesn't,
I don't
like
know if she
violence,
get into. I'm trying to. I was trying to think of any Kubrick to show her.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No Kubrick.
I just don't think.
Except maybe Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even 2001, she would ask me, "What does it mean?" And I would tell her, "I don't know." Nobody does.
Full of stars.
It's full of stars. All right. 713-526-5738. We've got about 15 minutes left in the show tonight, so we got time for a couple of more calls. We got one in the queue. We have plenty of we have time for a few more, like I said. 713-526-5738. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up?
Up next, we're going to speak with Carl.
Carl, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hello, Jay.
Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, good. I just started having pop-ups on my iPhone.
Are you sure you have an iPhone? It's not Android.
No, it really is. It came in an Apple box.
Okay.
We believe you.
And it seemed to be related to Google Ads, and I changed my search engine to Bing, and it kind of seemed like it stopped. And I checked my pop-up settings, you know, and it says do not allow. In my Safari settings, so I'm wondering if I might have a virus. Have y'all heard anything about that? Or
No, I haven't heard of anything like that, what you're describing. I haven't really heard of anything. Is it iPhone 5 or 4 or what?
4S.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's some stuff out in the wild, but you've got it running the latest iOS, right?
Yes, Yeah, I don't go to strange places, you know, it's just normal news.
Is it notifications?
It's a good question. Is it notifications? What do the pop-ups say?
They're ads.
And it pops up, like, anytime you're using the phone anywhere or only when you're using web browser?
Just a web browser.
I have never seen a pop-up on my iPhone,
I haven't
ever.
Me either.
Well, I hadn't either. And it was like, wow, what's going on, you know?
I wonder if did you install an app that may be ad-based that could be doing this to you?
That could be. I don't know. Do one of those emoticons.
Oh, did you download some kind of emoticon software?
Well, but I did that a while back, but I did start using it just recently. maybe that activated it or something.
Is there, maybe. I mean, I wonder if do the ads seem to come up in Safari or do they seem to come up some other way?
No, it's Safari. It's only in Safari.
I mean, I've never seen a pop up using Safari on an iPhone ever.
Yeah.
Have you, how many apps do you have that you, I mean, you could try resetting the phone.
And wipe everything out?
Well, you should have most of it backed up, but I'm trying to think of how you would get to a clean spot, but still be able to, I mean, you can reload all your apps from the App Store. That's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Do you have data on the phone? Like,
I backed up some to my computer. I need to do it again, you know, recently. And,
Have you added any apps to the phone recently?
He did say that he added the smiley face one.
Yeah, take that off.
Okay.
It looks like you've just got some adware on there.
Yeah, okay. I'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, the emoticon, some of those kind of applications, they're not necessarily nefarious, but they're ad driven.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if you I'd get rid of that program. Try taking off any kind of cheesy little apps that you might have.
Those are usually the most dangerous ones because they're really easy to write. Someone can knock out, you know, an emoticon thing overnight, and then you lace it with whatever you want to, and then hope that, you know, the Apple people don't pick it up and it's in the store, and then you're doing it. So
okay. All right. Thanks for the advice, guys.
All right. Thanks for your call. All right. That's all the calls we have. We got about 10 minutes left. We could, we'll just continue talking about movies that we need to see.
Here's somebody that I recommend that you never watch because I hate him. But a lot of people don't. Cronenberg.
You hate Cronenberg?
Oh man, I hate Cronenberg. Mostly because of Existence. Like, I really just, man, that movie was horrible. I had a friend recommend it. He's like, man, you gotta see this movie, it's really awesome. And I watched it, I'm like, that's a horrible movie. It's a horrible movie. It's just,
what was the spike face guy? When?
Naked Lunch.
Naked Lunch?
No, the pinhead guy.
Hellraiser.
Wasn't that Cronenberg?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Lunch was Cronenberg.
He did, like, The Fly and Scanners and...
Oh
yeah, right. I watched Scanners, too. Scanners was the least bad of the Cronenberg films I've watched, but even it wasn't that good.
I want to like Cronenberg, but I have a hard time liking Cronenberg, if that makes any sense. He did M. Butterfly. He's done a few things.
He did a recent movie with a guy that, like, used to be in the mob or something and had, like, hidden in a small town. And
what was the one?
That was actually
Jay likes that, right? Was it a movie or was it a TV show?
That was a movie.
Oh.
That was actually a pretty good movie, but it was outside of what he normally does.
It wasn't when in Bruges, right?
No.
Or Bruges. Or,
oh, no.
What's that called? Where the mobsters go hang out in Bruges? In Bruges.
Yeah, that in Bruges. That's a great film. Yeah.
And that I haven't seen, but that's not Cronenberg.
No, that's not Cronenberg. What was the one with the guy in the sleep deprivation tank?
I don't know the sleep deprivation tank, but there was one with in Alaska with the cop where he couldn't sleep. I don't know what it. Let me go hit IMDb. Al Pacino was in it.
Oh, but that was okay. That was a movie that was okay. It's Robin Williams, right?
I don't remember.
Insomnia.
It's been a while. Yeah, Insomnia. Yeah.
That's an okay movie, but it's actually based on a Norwegian or Swedish film that was actually much better.
Videodrome,
which I did see. Again, it's the better of the Cronenberg films, but even I still didn't
love Videodrome. I'm sorry.
Here's a new movie. It definitely doesn't have any old school geek cred. It's not kitschy, but I really like the Trolls movie.
Troll Hunter?
Yeah, Troll Hunter.
I just watched that a week ago.
The Swedish one is pretty good.
That was pretty good.
I thought it was okay. I wasn't expecting anything from it. I thought it was like a cheapy, you know, straight to video, stream it from Netflix. But I don't watch a lot of movies, and I watched that, and I thought it was, you know, pretty good. I was afraid it was going to be really bad, but it was, you know.
Troll Hunter?
Yeah. I thought
is it the subtitled one?
Yeah.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay. Altered States.
I'm aware of that as a Genesis video game from the 90s.
Altered States.
Isn't it called Altered State?
I think it's Altered States, plural. And, yeah, it's a 1980 film directed by Ken Russell. It's got, let's see, who is the main actor in that one? William Hurt. And it's a great one. It's about this guy who goes exploring the subconscious using sleep deprivation tank, but it actually transforms him. It's a very interesting movie.
Into like a really grumpy person?
No. What was the people who liked that also? Was The Cell was also a Cronenberg, wasn't it? No?
I hope not, because I like The Cell.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
Was The Cell, was that Vince Vaughn and J-Lo, or was that someone else?
The Cell was about the mass murder, the FBI pursuit.
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez, Vince Vaughn, yeah.
Oh, that's not the one I'm thinking of.
The Cell, okay.
I'm thinking of the one, it was a really cheaply filmed movie where these six people were put into this one room and there were doors you could go through and there were traps in some of the rooms where they killed people and they were trying to figure out where they were and how they could get out. And they made that one and they made a second one.
Oh, the Saw. Saw movies.
Not Saw movies. I don't like those. No, it was maybe called The Cube. And there was a first. The first one was really good and the second one wasn't so good. Maybe it was called The Cube. But that was a good movie, I thought.
I didn't see it. That's more of a horror movie, isn't it?
It was kind of a horror movie. But it was kind of a psychological horror.
You don't want to get her to see those kind of movies.
No, I don't want to see those kind of movies.
Yeah.
Although I did finally get to see The Hostel.
I'm not a huge fan of just like slasher films or anything. But if it's like psychological, if it's like old like Hitchcock films, like a psychological horror where it like there's a lot of tension in it. That stuff's good. I like that stuff, okay. But I'm not a big fan of just, like, slash films, gore films.
God, I'm down to where I only have about 7 hours of battery life left. We have to wrap things up here. Well, lots of good ideas. You know, it's got to be accessible. It's got to be stuff that a girl's going to like.
Matrix.
Huh?
The Matrix.
I need to show her The Matrix regardless. I think that needs to happen.
Matrix is a really good movie.
Pretty cool.
It's visually fun.
And the story's really cool. The idea's really cool.
Yeah.
And then they Lucas'd it.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
The next
they made
two
more
maybe
than one?
Yeah.
Okay. If they had made more than one, they would have been not worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Although they might have had some kind of interesting dance scenes with a lot of like B&D gear.
Well, the whole cave rave, you know.
That wasn't in the first movie.
That wasn't. No, it wasn't. But it was alluded to because they made it. All right, well, I think we're done. What a great show, sort of.
Put a fork in us.
Get in the limo. All right, well, you've been listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's
Groovehouse.
We'll be back, hopefully, full strength next week. I'm sure we'll be back full strength by the time the fundraiser rolls around, whenever that is. But thanks for tuning in. Stick around. More great programming coming your way after these messages.
I'm Dr. Lorenzo Cohen, Director of the Integrative Medicine Program at the MD Anderson Cancer Center, and I'm the host of Living the Anti-Cancer Life. Cancer has now surpassed heart disease as the number one cause of death in the world. But cancer is mainly a preventable disease. That's right, we can prevent the majority of cancer in our world by making some important lifestyle choices. This may surprise you when it seems that every one of us has either dealt with a cancer diagnosis directly or indirectly through family and friends. I'll be discussing how to lower your risks and improve your outcomes for those with cancer, not in just one way, but several, through stress management, nutrition, physical activity, the environment, and social support. Tune in Monday, July 8th at 9:30 a.m. Central Time to the Community Spotlight segment of Open Journal for Living the Anti-Cancer Life, where we will continue this discussion together with a focus on nutrition. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Want to help KPFT but can't make the drive out to the little house on Lovett Boulevard? A great way to aid KPFT is as simple as logging into Facebook and Twitter. Connect with KPFT via social media. It's simple. Just visit twitter.com/KPFT and facebook.com/KPFT Houston. Then share our links and donate form with your social circles on Twitter and Facebook. Chances are you know people who may not know KPFT, and you'll introduce them to the fantastic music, interviews, news, and more that you hear daily on this radio station. Remember, just visit twitter.com/KPFT or facebook.com/KPFT Houston to promote and support KPFT online. This is Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.